Storyworthy Media, the best in story-driven content.
Hey, this is Jen Reed, and you are listening to Storyworthy. So put on some pants.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from Western Costume Company, one of the oldest and most important costumers deep in the valley. You know why I was here once?
Why were you here, Hannes?
Well, when I was a featured background on The Aviator, I had to get fitted for a 1927 Tux and Tales. And this is where I came.
I see.
And then I was standing next to Cate Blanchett, and I'm in the movie for 1.1 seconds.
Of The Aviator.
The Aviator. So look for me, baby.
All right, we'll do that. And we're coming to you from Western Costumes because this is a costume house. And I don't know if people around the country or around the world even know what that means.
It's not a costume shop. It's a giant place.
Well, exactly. And it's certainly not, it's not for the consumers. It's
those
for
are the professional costumes.
So for people working in television, movies, videos, concerts, I'm sure, that can all come here and rent costumes.
Yeah, and you'll just racks and racks and racks of stuff, and you'll be like, oh, I think Humphrey Bogart wore that hat in the movie.
So from different decades.
Yeah,
and
just
different,
unbelievable, yeah, the stuff. That,
really interesting.
Remember, I remember years ago, Robert Mitchum, this is podcast gold because the kids love Robert Mitchum. He made a movie in 1975 that was took place in the 40s, and they gave him the costume. And he was like, I wore the same fucking hat in a movie 30 years ago. It was the same hat, fedora they gave him in 1945, they gave him in 1975.
You know, I bet you there's some fantastic costume designer stories. I like
oh
stuff
my God,
like that.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're coming here tonight because our guest, Jennifer Raid, or as she goes now, it's Jen Raid, actually.
Jen Raid.
She is a costume designer.
The kids today, they like the monosyllable.
She is a costumer, and she's also a celebrity stylist and a fashion expert. A fashion expert, Hannes.
That is the opposite of me.
I wonder if you go to school for that or you just learn that. I mean, I understand the word costume designer is a big word.
Well,
I understand it encompasses many different things. And I know there's schooling for it. But when you're talking about fashion
proper.
Well, no,
the question to me is not, well, how do you learn it? I think you learn it by doing. The question is, who declares you the fashion expert?
Right.
For instance, you're watching the Oscars. Somebody that I've never heard of is like, this guy's a fashion expert and he's criticizing Jennifer Lawrence right now. I've no idea who he is.
Yeah, like,
no
why
idea.
Why do I believe him?
Right. I've no, you know,
who
it's
gave
like
him the credentials?
There's no degree in expertery.
Well,
there may be a degree in fashion.
But it's subjective, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
No, but it is. But style is subjective.
Well, exactly.
Is it not?
So how can you be an expert if you're just, it's your opinion.
But then again, then it's like saying, how about an art critic or like our friend David Wilde, a music critic.
But you know what? See, the word critic implies he's giving you, see, you should be fashion critic, actually.
Well, she is a fashion critic, actually.
But,
you
yeah,
can
but
say
not
that.
When you, I'm just saying on those shows, it's
yeah.
always like expert, like, it's like, no, it's just a guy who never, you know, a guy who never wears dresses criticizing women who wear dresses. So that's why it's good when a woman is actually doing the show.
Yeah.
It always bugs me. It's like six guys going, she never should have worn that dress. You don't wear dresses. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. But it's like, how do you know if
yeah,
she should have worn the dress? You
but
don't
then
wear
you're
dresses.
You're going back to, you know, how does the brain surgeon do brain surgery when he's never had brain surgery? I mean, that's a roundabout
wow,
way.
Talking about a roundabout, you went way afield
you
there.
You can know about something and not directly be good at it. I'm just saying, a pilot can pilot the airplane, but he didn't know how to fix the airplane. Do you know what I mean? That's a mechanic. It's a different
yeah.
person. The mechanic can't fly it.
Well, you've never seen a little movie called Flight of the Phoenix, starring James Stewart from 1957. That's all I'm saying.
That's true.
Podcast
hey, here's
gold.
What I want to say. Jennifer Raid, if anybody knows about fashion, it's this woman. And here's
yes.
why, Hannes.
Yes.
No, I'm very serious about this.
I'm listening.
It is not just a little bit of her life. It encompasses her entire life. And I know she is from the great state of Pennsylvania, as am I.
Pennsylvania.
The Keystone State, Philadelphia. And she's done so much in the world of costume, but also in design and also in style. And they're all different things. And that's what I want to break down for everybody, the difference between a costume designer and a wardrobe stylist. Because my nephew is a costume designer.
Right.
But sometimes he does jobs as a stylist. So it's two different things. I'm just going to read you what I have. A costume designer is a person who designs costumes for a film, stage production, or television. The role of the costume designer is to create the characters and balance the scenes with texture and color. And the costume designer works alongside the director, the lighting designer, the sound designer, and other creative personnel. The costume designer may also collaborate with a hairstylist, the wig master, or a makeup artist. Anyway, the point is costume designers come in different unions, and there's very many people involved, and it's confusing, and I don't know a lot about it. And when Jennifer Raid comes on, she can tell us the difference between what a tailor is and an ager and a cutter. Somebody just cuts. That's all they do.
Right. See, to me, fabric. A cutter is someone who has self-esteem problems and is a teenage girl who wants, and an ager is what I do every single day.
And the other, you've always been an ager.
Yes.
The other thing is there's different types of costume designers. There's freelance, residential, and academic. So there's,
wait a minute. I'm sorry. Say those three again.
So freelance designer, you get hired for a specific production. A residential designer is if like you're hired by an entire theater or a dance company or an opera company. And an academic designer is somebody who holds a position at a school, a teacher.
Okay.
Okay. Now that's costume designer. So now wardrobe stylist. Whole different thing. What do you think it is, Hannes?
I think that you are responsible for the overall look of something, and maybe you just buy clothes off the rack?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I've never done a commercial where it's made a costume for me. They bought a bunch of stuff at Target, put it on me, saw what made me look not quite so fat, and then that was the one they
went
with.
What if the role is calling for Fat Man?
Then they hire somebody else. This is a problem.
Yeah, because you're not fat.
I'm just fat enough to piss myself off, but I'm not fat enough. For instance, okay, my beard has gone white. I get called in for Santa Claus, right? You're like, yeah, I'm not. There's guys who are 350, 17-inch beards.
Totally
they
average.
They're dead on Santa. And I'm like, why the F am I here? There's 45 guys who own the costume. And they're in the costume in the room, and I walk in like, hey, I can be the world's smallest Santa.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I think what is important is that I'm bitter and angry. This is what's really
a wardrobe stylist, or you can say a fashion stylist,
is
the job title of someone who selects the clothing for print or television or advertising campaigns, music videos, concert performances, public appearances, things by celebrities, models, people who don't know how to choose their own clothes.
Okay,
let me tell you something. Yeah. I would have a stylist in my life before anything because it's so hard for me to choose clothes. Very difficult.
Now, here's something that we can ask her about. I've done, like, say, commercials where you're working with the costume people that stylist, they're getting it like this is all, and you're like the dad in the family. They want the mom, and they want all everything's gonna work. And the director goes in and goes, "Can he wear the orange shirt with like no like consultation of like why did you go with this color scheme or something?" They'll just throw in something and walk out, and then the stylist goes, "Yeah, okay," and they walk out. And he's like, "Oh, this fucking asshole."
And then
there's
the stylist
no fucking
like,
idea
shit,
what I'm doing.
Has
no idea. It's going to, like, all this has to change because of just, you saw a shirt. It was bright. So you wanted a bright shirt.
But I think that they collaborate ahead of time. And I mean, a stylist is often.
No, they should.
Well,
they don't
but
always.
They do. I mean, especially if it's a commercial, they're part of the collaborative team that comes up with what it's going to look like in general. You know, there's photographers that have to know what's going on. Obviously, the camera people. Photographers, the makeup stylist, everybody has to be on board. So they usually meet. The last thing plugged in is the talent and the wardrobe going together. I mean, they usually have a color scheme, don't you think?
No, they do. I have witnessed somebody come in and complete disregard for all the stuff that was talked about.
I see what you're saying.
You know, they're like, no, well, we want you to put this on because we want you to match her and the kids. And they say all this, and a guy walks in. He doesn't ask, like, he just goes, he should wear this shirt without, you know, I mean, I've seen it. I tell you, I've seen it.
Here's what I want to say. You know those lists, Hannes, they're like best dress lists and people are like, you know, all about fashion and what they're wearing.
Yeah.
The people that are wearing those items I don't believe they're the ones choosing those items. Do you know what I mean? Like, just because you're Charlize Theron doesn't mean you know what to wear.
No, if you're smart, and Charlize Theron probably is very
smart. I'm sure she is.
You hire the best people to make you look
fantastic. And that's what Jen Ray does. Exactly. And she works with high-end clientele, Hannes. Let me throw out these names, see if any of these ring a bell.
All right.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Owes me money.
Angelina Jolie.
Owes me something else.
You're dirty. Let me think. Amazing names. Kim Kardashian.
That's not an amazing name. I'm sorry. Well, I can't be impressed by Angelina Jolie is awesome.
Okay. Well, the point is, the point is she works with a lot of high-end.
These are big people.
High celeb, you know, celebrities, A-listers, I believe is what they call them.
Yes.
A-listers. And she's here right now. And we have a lot to talk about because we have never covered fashion design. We've never covered
not
style.
Specifically, no. We've talked about hair. Yeah, we haven't covered.
So this is great. I'm really excited she's here. Before Jen Raid comes on, I do want to mention that if you'd like to support the Storyworthy podcast, that would be great. And here's what you can do.
You can tell your friends.
That's the simplest thing.
Yeah.
You just say, I listen to this great show called Storyworthy. Follow them on Instagram, on Twitter, at Storyworthy. Yeah. That's simple. They got that thing called Facebook going on.
Right. Did you? They'll be like, hey, do you ever want to hear a middle-aged man talk about something he has no idea what he's talking about?
Boom.
Listen to this fashion episode of Storyworthy.
That's right. You hear us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes. We're everywhere. Or you can also follow us at storyworthypodcast.com. All right, you guys, wherever you are, stick around because Jen Raid is on her way here. Next time on Storyworthy, we have comedian Theo Vaughn.
And I'll be talking about the time that I killed squirrels with my father.
That's next time on Storyworthy.
Hi, this is Matt Oswald, and you're listening to Storyworthy, while Christine Blackburn is giving me a handjob under the table.
And we're back. We've left Western costume, and we're now at Warner Brothers. They're not letting us in. We're just outside, and we don't have a day pass, so we're just outside on
I think you have to have credentials to get on the lot. I mean,
I showed them the Storyworthy sign,
yeah,
and they said, get out.
God damn it. All right, you guys. She's here right now. Jennifer Raid. She is, like we said, a celebrity stylist and a fashion expert. And she does everything, Hannes, or she has done everything from big budget music videos to high profile advertising campaigns. That's a whole other thing we didn't talk about. She has styled commercials for like Apple and iPod and Target. Those are big, huge commercials.
Yes, and there's a lot of people have approval of those kind of things. It's a lot of work.
I can't even imagine them asking me my opinion.
Yes.
Hey, Christine, what do you think about, you know, it was just never going to happen.
The problem, I believe, is, and she could tell me whether this is true, she's pantomiming shooting herself in the head, by the way. It's like, I think what it is people often feel obligated in any situation to have an opinion if they are asked for one, even if you don't. Like, nobody in an ad agency, they go, well, what do you think of the clothes we've put on this woman? You feel like you have to say something, or what are you there for?
Yeah.
But you know, realistically, you should go, looks good to me, I'll leave that to the professionals.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody in advertising ever says that.
I see what you're saying. Interesting. Yeah. Well, listen, Jen has also done a lot of major red carpet events, and she's been seen with Tim Gunn on Under the Gun, and has also been a fashion commentator on shows.
A woman was under Tim Gunn? That's amazing.
She's been a fashion commentator on shows like Fashion Police, Shop Like a Star, MTV Styled, and Project Runway. Now, listen, if this isn't enough, we get into some awards. She has twice received the Costume Designers Guild Award for Best Commercial Design for those companies, like I was saying, like Apple, iPad. Unbelievable.
I never get awards.
And then if that's not enough, she has her own line of clothes. What the hell is going on, Hannes? What have you been doing the last 40 years?
I certainly haven't been designing clothes, and I think that's always obvious to everyone.
She has her own line of clothes.
If it weren't for outlet stores, I wouldn't have any decent clothes.
She has her own line of clothes at QVC called Edge. And like I said, she has an impressive client roster of Hollywood's hottest A-listers. Like we said, it's just unbelievable. You can find her over at jenniferraid.com and also on Twitter at @StylistJenRaid. All right, folks, wherever you are, put your hands together for Jen Raid. Wow.
That was a lot to listen to you guys talk of. Is that okay? Can I say that now?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure. It's all good.
It's just so interesting to hear that perspective. You know, but you don't not know anything. You just have a different perspective almost, you know, as an actor or just as a person of, you know, like Hannah's talking about doing a commercial with a stylist, but on a commercial, you would be a costume designer. If I was a really good stylist, I would bring out a baby wipe for you because a baby wipe with lanolin is like your best friend for things like that. Also, this is just totally off topic, but if you ever have a stain on something, just a really good stylist tip, all you do is take the fabric of your shirt and rub it against itself, and it'll take out pretty much anything. That's a hot tip. I feel like you should want to know that, but okay. So I guess I should tell you the story of my journey to becoming a stylist, because I'm often asked by people young and old, how did I get to be a stylist? Because a lot of people have ideas about what it means to be a stylist or a costume designer. You know, generally, you know, I meet a lot of girls all the time that are like, oh my gosh, that must be so amazing. You get to shop like for a living, like all day. That's got to be incredible. And I'm like, yeah, it's not quite what you think. And it's not quite that. And the irony is that, yes, I am a stylist, but I actually hate shopping. I wear the same clothes mostly, I would say, 3 to 4 days in a row, not even joking at all. Yeah, I hate, I'm so not like most people in fashion. You know, I wear flats. I don't eat kale. I don't do yoga. I don't have a very tiny dog. It's a lot of things that really should put me just really right out of the fashion world. But a lot of times when people ask me, like, what's it like working in fashion? I always say, I don't work in fashion, I work in people. And that is a big difference, I feel like, for me, that I like to keep in mind, that it really is about the person. It's not like, you know, my clients aren't like Barbie dolls that I get to dress up in any way that I want. And listening to you guys before talk about like Charlize or a certain person, do they or do they not? They don't necessarily, they're obviously not going to a showroom, like a fashion showroom where there would be 10 different lines and a stylist would go and select and then bring it to the fitting. But they are absolutely 100% involved, as you would be, Christine or Hannes. If, you know, you, well, you maybe not. Yeah, Hannes might actually be like my Barbie. But you would look at clothes and say, yeah, I really don't like that. I don't feel that. I feel this. A good stylist would say, you might not feel that, but put it on for me. Because sometimes the things that you look at on the hanger, just like your mommy probably told you when you were 7, can look incredible on you. And also, it's really a learning experience sometimes to see someone wear something just to try it on in your studio. Like, wow, you're right. That really does not work on you. And it's good for me to see that, because then the next time I work with you, I have a better sense of your body. So let me just rewind to the beginning of my story, okay? I was born in Philly. I went to college in Maryland. I moved to California right after I graduated. I drove across the country in 4 days. I studied theater and voice. As Christine and Hannes both know, I have a background in stand-up comedy, which I honestly believe has been the most helpful thing for me as a stylist. I am by no means the best stylist out there. I may be one of the funnier ones, but I do think that my broad range of clientele, and it is a very, very random group of people that I've worked with over these many, many years, it's mostly because I have fun with them. I make it fun. You know, we're not curing cancer. You know, you have to be able to laugh at yourself. And I, for whatever reason, I get the clients that can take my somewhat abrasive personality. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to lie to a client. If something looks like shit, I'm going to be the first person that's like, you know, that looks like shit. It's not flattering. No. If I'm already writing fashion police jokes in my mind in the fitting, like, that would be a great outfit if you were a baked potato, you know, because it looks like you were made in tin. It's like built of tinfoil, whatever it is. Like, if I'm writing that, like, I just was just during award season, you know, this past 2 months have been very, very busy. It was like a blur from January to now. You know, a client said to me, well, what do you think of this dress? And I said, honestly, it looks like a bedspread from Motel 6. I'm sorry. You know, I wouldn't even put someone I hated in this outfit. But if you want another stylist who's going to say, oh my God, you look amazing. That's so beautiful. You look incredible and everything. I'm not that person. And I'm very upfront with people when they hire me. This is how I am. I'm not a label whore. You know, I don't care if the right dress came from, you know, Goodwill, Salvation Army, Target, Dolce & Gabbana. It doesn't matter. Is it the right dress for the right person for that event? Great. If you need something else, I am probably not the stylist for you. However, I will give you the names and numbers of 25 other incredible stylists. Okay, I'm already off topic. So I drove across the country in 4 days. I had already studied costume design in college. It was part of what was a requirement for my major as a theater major. So I had done plays and, you know, a lot of straight, real costume design from sewing, pattern making, and things like that. I came out here. I very briefly assisted a girl named Lisa, and she worked with this director named Lionel Martin. Lionel C. Martin. He is the pioneer of the hip-hop and rap, like, party car video in the 90s. I was only an assistant for a very short time, which is fairly unusual, but after about 3 or 4 months, Lionel came to me, and he was like, I just see potential in you as a stylist. I feel like you have this, you know, untapped potential. I just see something in you. I'm going to start hiring you to be my stylist. And this was at a time where it was, you know, very like, you know, the 90s, straight out of Compton, like all like hip hop and rap people. I was literally like I was known as like the little white Jewish girl who just did hip hop and rap. Like, I remember starting out and one of my first videos, you can YouTube it, which you should. It was by a rapper. His name is MC Brains. And the song is called Oochie Coochie. Oochie Coochie, la la la. Okay, you can look it up. And I remember that the costumes that I, you know, created, which I thought were genius at the time, were made of saran wrap, because there was a time that saran wrap was made in different colors. Like remember they made like light blue? I'm probably so dating myself right now. And they made saran wrap in these different colors. And you can go on, you can YouTube this video. And it was like I had the dancers wrapped in like light blue saran wrap. And I thought I was like the shit. I was like, oh man, that's so creative. Like, you know, but, and these were when jobs, like a whole video might have had a budget of like $30,000, you know, and then it was like $50,000. So, you know, and it was very much like, you know, all black crew. Like I literally was like the token white girl, where Lionel just, if it was not for his belief and support in me and him putting his hand on my shoulder at a meeting, you know, with an artist and saying, because they would look at me and be like, what? This bitch is going to be what? She's going to be my stylist? Like, I'm from Compton. Like, I'm from the LBC. Like, what? Okay. And, but Lionel would just put his hand on my shoulder and be like, you can trust her. She gets it. And, you know, artist after artist would just take a chance on me. And so it kind of evolved. And I started working with like Tupac, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, The Dog Pound, Nas, Corrupt. I mean Daz, not Nas. Sorry about that.
Should I go back?
Yeah, so Daz and Corrupt, The Dog Pound, you know, Shug Knight. Death Row was the label that paid me, and I did get paid, okay? And, you know, that was, it just was this evolution of, you know, doing video after video, like, nonstop with Lionel. And, you know, it was a very major time in the mid-90s where, in the beginning, the rap and hip-hop artists were not really getting the budgets, and people like Aerosmith and these like white artists were getting, you know, rock artists were getting like huge budgets. And then there was started like a shift, and it was a really major turning point in the video world. And that's when I got lucky enough to style the video for California Love, which to me is like a legendary video with Dr. Dre and Tupac. It was very costume designy. We nearly died. It was a very tough shoot in the middle of the El Mirage dry lake bed, with, you know, tons of extras. It was just absolutely out of control. But it was a huge budget, and it was just this major turning point in the music world where rap and hip-hop suddenly just started, like, taking off. And then the white rock artists were, their budgets were going down, and like hip hop was like super taking over. And then the jobs just got bigger and bigger. And I did, you know, Lenny Kravitz, Fly Away, Will Smith, Wild Wild West. I started working with Busta Rhymes, LL Cool J. You know, these were like I said, the budgets were just getting bigger and bigger. And then I started working a lot with this one director named Paul Hunter, still amazing director today. And I had just done the Lenny Kravitz video with him, and he got hired to do Marilyn Manson Dope Show. And Manson is, who's just so funny. He could be a stand-up comic. He's like a brilliant comic genius and so creative. And so he was cool enough to allow Paul, the director, to bring in his quote-unquote, his own glam squad. Whereas a lot of people, especially today, would be like, well, you can be the director, but I'm bringing in my own stylist, my own hair person, my own makeup. That's how most artists work. At this time, Manson was like, hey, I really liked how Fly Away looked. I'm cool to use your people. I trust you as a director. So I went, and I remember the first time I went and met with Manson in a long time ago, and the walls were painted black. You know, it was really late at night. I was like, I didn't know anything about him. And I tend to live in a bubble. I don't read any fashion magazines. I haven't picked up a Vogue magazine at least in 10 years, which is, again, I don't even know why I'm a stylist. But I just prefer to live in like my own bubble, and just, I work off a theory of styling, which is called common sense, also known as don't look like an asshole, which I think is pretty much what everybody should do. I don't dress my clients like in wallpaper, upholstery fabric. I don't ever want people to look and be like, is that a dress or an oven mitt? You know, I'm very like, my aesthetic is more clean. So I met Manson. We immediately hit it off. Capricorn, as you well know. And there was just something. We just really hit it off. We did the Dope Show. And then I went on to do like 6 huge videos with him. You know, I don't like the drugs, but the drugs like me. Just all kinds of stuff. Amazing, really creative, very costume design. You know, we made a 17 foot, okay, it's taller than your ceilings, long skirt where he got lifted out of water, and the skirt had to be all pleated on a special pleating machine. So that's where you get into sort of costume design versus just styling, like, you know, rolling up to a Bloomingdale's and just like buying some stuff for like a dad in a commercial or whatever. So then I did all this Manson stuff, and then all of a sudden, and then I was doing Slipknot, Everclear, Filter, Dave Matthews. And then all of a sudden, it was like record labels. And you know that we live in a town where people really want to like pigeonhole you. You know, they really want to put you in a box. So for those first, you know, however many years, it was like, oh, Jen Raid, she just only dresses black people. She only does like hip hop and rap. Like, she can't dress white people. And I'm like, what? I am a costume designer. My job is to see society, whether it was the 1600s or the year 2650, it's my job to imagine what the world or the characters would look like no matter anything. So then, like I said, I did all this stuff with a lot of really super hard rock people, you know, Ozfest and things like that. And suddenly like 2 or 3 years went by and I didn't do any hip hop. And then it was like record label people were like, oh, well, you know, Jen Raid, she only styles people who like vomit on stage or piss on their costume, like, you know, crazy hard rock people. And I'm like, I was at Snoop Dogg's wedding, okay? So yeah, I think I can do either of those things. And don't try to put me in a box. I'm claustrophobic. So it was a lot of work to really push against. It's been a long, you know, it's a long life of just, you know, pushing against and showing people that if you're a designer, you can be broad enough to sort of do anything. So I did all this, you know, rock stuff. And then one of the directors that I worked with got hired to do a Target commercial. And he was like, I want Jen to be the stylist on the commercial. And then, of course, those people were like, oh, really? I don't know. She's like a video stylist. You know, she does videos. I don't know. Can she do a commercial? And it's like, oh, bitch, please. Yes, I can. So then I started this Target commercial. And that was very, very heavy costume design, where I made everything from, you know, it was during the whole red and white scheme. So I made red and white skater outfits, red and white nurses, you know, everything was made, you know, everything. I did everything from make a dress out of Post-its to antlers for a dog, you know, everything that you can possibly imagine. And I really hit it off on that first job with the president at that time of the ad agency for Target. And he proceeded to kind of push me onto all these different directors. And I ended up doing about 300 Target commercials over a period of many years, mixed in with like iPod, you know, all sorts of just your normal, just commercial life. And then at the same time, you know, hopping back and forth and doing, maybe it was like Pink, Stupid Girls, I would do a video, or Pink for the Grammys. And then, you know, back to doing like a U.S. Bank commercial. It was just always just something different, which is really what I worked my whole life for, to be able, you know, I get bored quickly. And it's weird, you know, people say, wow, so like you've really never had any sort of quote unquote full-time job. And I haven't, but yet I've worked constantly for a very, very long time. It's sort of like organized chaos, I guess. But it's the joy for me of being able to jump from like Grammy red carpet to like a commercial. Like I just did one that's running right now for Sleep Number, the mattress, and it's got these dancers and really cool, you know, costumes, a lot of what you said with the ad agency and, you know, everyone wanting to have an opinion. It's very difficult. There's a lot to balance. And so then after doing, you know, commercials and whatever, back to videos, I was working with Korn, the rock band, and I ended up that's how I met a couple different of the celebrity people. And then even then, when, you know, like the first celebrity that said, hey, would you do my press junket? And I was like, yeah, okay, what's a press junket? I don't even really know. But yeah, that sounds cool. Totally, I'll do that. And then it was going on to doing like people for whether it was, you know, Ellen or The Tonight Show, you know, all these different kinds of press things, just regular junkets where it's, you know, every 4 minutes you have a different interview, movie press. And then someone asked me to style them for the Oscars. And even then, the people at the movie studio were like, ugh, really? Are you sure? She's a commercial stylist. I'm like, really? Okay, so first I was just like a hip-hop stylist. Then I was just, I only dressed hard rock people. Then the next thing was commercials, and they were like, she's a video stylist. Then it was celebrities, and they're like, she's like a commercial stylist. Okay, so it's just been this constant battle. So then I got into the red carpet thing, and it's just each thing, like I always say, what is meant to be yours or mine will come to me. That's how it is. I often walk through the mall and think that I want to style like literally almost every single person I see. I will walk by and think, oh, if I could just like change the tone of your blonde hair by like two clicks to the left, I could change your whole face. Or if I could just show just little things like, but I can't style the world. I want to style the world, but I can't. So, you know, the people who were meant to be mine, and it is a really, like I said, very random, broad group of people, but they're the people that can deal with my personality, I guess, or I can deal with them. Because, I mean, honestly, at this point in my life, like, if I'm meeting with a potential client, they're thinking, like, do I want to hire Jen Ray to be my stylist? And I'm like, do I want to get off eBay looking at vintage clothing to style you? You think you're interviewing me. I'm at this point where I'm like, do I even want to give you it takes all of me every time, because, you know, you really are looking into a person's soul. Like, you know, I was born in Philly. Never in one trillion years could I have ever imagined that this is where my life would take me, that I would see this many people naked. You know what I mean? Because that's really basically what I am. I'm a stylist. I see naked people most of the time. I mean, I've seen more tits than like Charlie Sheen or anyone that you can think of. I've seen every cock in town, every type of piercing. I have seen there are some things you really just like legit cannot unsee. So, yeah, I mean, and then to just go on and work with like Cher and Tina Turner and Eminem, and like and I'm like the least starstruck person. I do not care. I'm just like, I'm not even here to be your friend. Let's just like get the job done, which I also think is a big part of why I work. But it is something like, it's so, everyone's path to styling is so different. It's just incredible to think from where I came, I never could have imagined that this is where I would end up, you know?
Have you ever spoken at colleges and, you know, fashion design schools, graduation, stuff like that?
I did go back to my own college in Maryland, and I spoke to the costume design majors just because, you know, there's so many avenues in fashion, whether it's window dressing, merchandising, buying, designing, fabric designing, loom. I mean, it's absolutely endless, the possibilities. And like I said, as a kid living in the suburbs of Philly, I had absolutely no idea that there was this whole world.
Yeah, you know? Even what Hannes and I were talking about earlier, I don't think people realize the different paths you can take.
I mean, it's absolutely the world of fashion. And even though I say I work in people more so than fashion, but it's, yeah. So I haven't really, just my own college.
Yeah, none of this stuff just happens.
No.
People think that it's like, well, you hire a bunch of actors and they show up and whatever they're wearing. It's like, it's all.
Someone once said to me, and I just wanted, I didn't even know how to respond. Someone once said to me, it's so cool. Have you ever seen that show, The 70s Show? And I was like, no, because I don't really watch television. And she was like, it's so cool how they cast all those actors and they all had clothes from the 70s.
They weren't serious.
No, she was dead serious.
Oh, well, now you're talking about.
I wanted to punch her in the face.
That's the lowest common denominator.
Yeah,
of
there's
the
a lot of low common denominators.
That's
out there.
Can
it
I
is,
unfortunately. I'm sorry,
go
I
ahead.
Just have to, before I forget
Please.
This, worst cock in town. Now, you don't have to give any names, but you said there were things you saw you couldn't unsee.
I'm
What's
just
the
saying,
worst
there are places
penis thing
on
you've
the,
seen?
Well, I have seen piercings that connect two parts that.
Like where you put a chain between
yes.
one to the other?
Yes.
Like, so where?
Yes.
From the top of the penis
yes.
to where?
To like your balls.
Really?
Yes.
Why would a guy do that?
I don't know.
But that
and even worse, I don't want to say
tell me.
The artist.
Don't
it's
tell
a,
me
it's
who
a band,
it is.
But in this particular video, the they had to be completely covered in black makeup, and I mean head to toe, hands, everything. So along with it, we had to actually unzip and help them pee and other things throughout the day because they couldn't touch anything because they were fully covered in black makeup.
Right. Wow, that's intense.
Yeah.
And so you, did you have to do that or did you get somebody else
I
to do it?
I put a lot of that on my assistant.
That's
I did
smart.
Some of it, but I was like, you know what? This is a great job for my assistant.
At this point in the game, Jennifer, is a lot of what you do delegating?
I wish, you know, not as much as it should be, I guess. It is because I would be dead without my assistants and I can definitely have them go out and pull and stuff for me. But like right now, I'm just starting Dancing with the Stars and I do the judges for that as a costume designer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just very like Jurotic, Capricorn. I really can't just like, I wish I could like let go a little bit more and just care like a teeny bit less. But at the end of the day, I feel like everything I do is a reflection on myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even with a client, like mm-hmm. if I have an issue with a client where maybe we don't agree on something, it's like, you know what? You think that you're representing like the Hannes. This is my aesthetic when I go on the red carpet. And it's like, but you know what? You're also representing my aesthetic.
Yeah.
So I have to like it too.
Right.
You know, so I feel like if I don't see, even if I let someone pull ahead of time.
Can you explain the word
edit.
Pull? Because I don't
Pulling
think people
would
know.
Be, there's showrooms all over Los Angeles and also New York. And a lot of big designers would have in-house public relations. And we would call and set up, for example, if we were pulling for you, let's say you had a magazine shoot, or it depends if it's editorial or red carpet. We would call a bunch of different showrooms like Lacham, Altimoda, Starworks, Film Fashion.
Okay, now stop right there. So Altimoda. Now, this is a building.
It is a showroom here in LA.
It's a showroom in Los Angeles. There's no sign out front.
No, no,
it's
not open to the public.
Right, it's not open to the public.
No.
These are places where, when you said the designers, so go ahead.
Like, for example, like Altimoda, they rep like 7, 8, or 10 different designers. So it could be like they have Alberta Ferretti and Philosophy. They have Remacra. They have Louis Lehman, a shoe brand. You know, Alice and Olivia.
So then you send the talent, or who sends?
No. The talent doesn't go anywhere near those. I mean, there's mid-level talent that wouldn't have a stylist. That's like, you know, a B or C person on a sitcom. Their publicist might send them into a showroom for sure.
Okay.
But generally, I would give my assistant a list, or we would make a list together, and they would email and say, hey, we are doing Marissa Tomei for SAG. We need gowns. We would like to set up appointments. Or if you're in New York and you're Oscar de la Renta or Marquesa, which is what Marissa wore, to one of the events, then they would ship it to us. Here in LA, we would make appointments. We go in. It's not open to the public. And you just dig through the racks and you see all the spring. We see everything like it was just Fashion Week. We see everything right after Fashion
so
Week.
So it goes from Fashion Week
to
and
the
those
showrooms.
Stages to that showroom. Now, yes. At this point in the game, you're not looking at sizes or anything like that.
There are no sizes.
Explain.
There's only sample size.
Okay, what does it mean by there are no sizes?
Well, when we go to a showroom or we call an in-house place, you know, like Oscar de la Renta, let's say, where they do in-house PR. They don't have a PR firm. So you would call and say, hey, or email, hey, I'm looking for stuff for Marissa for Golden Globes. And I would like to see look number 2 and look number 12 from spring 2016.
Wow.
Then they say, oh, look number 2 was already worn by Scarlett Johansson, but we have look number 19. What do you think?
That is so cool. Wait a minute. Now, at this juncture, these things are online. So you're looking online.
Yeah, we're online at Vogue.com or Elle.com or New York Mag.
And that's what the number represents when those models are walking with numbers.
Every single look. I never see the models with numbers.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Oh, wait. Now I'm thinking of a strip club.
Yeah,
okay,
you're totally confusing this with a boxing match.
Not, yeah, boxing match.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. It's totally different. You just went to Vegas. I don't know what happened there.
Okay. Where is the number?
The number's at the bottom on the screen. It'll start with like look 1, look 2, look 3, up to, you know, if
okay,
it's
okay, so
a
look
big
1
look.
Is, I swear to God, Jen, you have to back this up for
me. Yeah,
man.
I'm seeing that now. Yeah,
okay, look 1 is a pantsuit.
Yep, sure, if you want it to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they say, no,
Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton
yes,
wore
I
want
to style Hillary so bad for her
you
inauguration.
You would be amazing. Would Do you just, think that might happen?
I know people who work on her campaign. I mean, she's been looking great. She's with the, you know, Luma Abedin. That, like, she's got some styling people.
Now, who is she with?
Well, I mean, she has stylish women around her I think are clearly, you know, helping her, but that would be like a dream come true.
I don't see a lot of celebrities dressing poorly. Now, I also don't really look at the mag. I don't ever look at the magazines, and I don't know a lot
There's
about
a
fashion.
Lot of celebrities dressing poorly.
Because I seem to, okay, can you, because like, okay, you personally.
I hate to say that. I'm so sorry.
You,
but
it's okay.
It's
do you feel like you've ever had some like fails, like big time? Like, oh, shit, what was I thinking?
No. I mean, and I don't mean that in any cocky
That's
way.
That's brilliant.
But it's not that it's brilliant. It's just that like. I am not, it's my aesthetic as a stylist, even you seeing me now in black and jeans, that's like pretty much every day of my life, I'm going to wear something black and jeans with pockets because I'm like an 8-year-old boy and I might have like a tadpole in my pocket and my credit card and like 2 quarters and a
battery.
Well,
you're tempting me. I want to know what's in your pockets.
But it's just, luckily, touch wood, because I'm Jewish, I am superstitious. I really have never had that experience of having a client be like on a worse dress list because I'm not the type of stylist that will pick out the really weird floral thing.
Yeah, you're
from
not going
to
do
right.
You're not
going to like
do
an oven mitt.
Right, you're not going to go for the Bjork that with a big goose on her dress.
I mean, I would. There's a time for that. Like I said, with Manson.
Well, I wanted to ask you about Marilyn Manson because I remember some of his videos. Where like he has his whole crotch area is like, you know, has rivets and it's all like metal and like what when you're building a costume with him, does he say like, Jennifer, here's what I see my cock just covered in rivets. I mean, what?
Yeah.
I mean, what,
he,
I don't
he
understand.
Would totally say that.
He would.
Well, Manson's like a really different example because he's extremely fashion savvy and has a huge library of art books and history books. And he's really, really intelligent.
What is his wardrobe like at his house? Have you ever
just
been?
Yes, I've been to his house.
And but what is his wardrobe? Times. Does he have like walk-in
You know, just closets and a lot of, you know, black. And
but for the most
part.
He wears
a lot of t-shirts. I mean, when I see him, he's just regular. You know, he's not.
When these celebrities wear something outlandish in a music video, do they keep that costume?
Yeah, they would keep that costume because in a music video is paid for 50% by the record label and 50% by the artist. It comes out of the artist's royalties.
I see.
So at the end of the day, yeah, what am I making it for? I'm custom making it. If I make some crazy, you know, Manson is very different because when you have a meeting with him, he comes to that meeting with like, he's got his library full of books. He has so many references, which I prefer. It's not necessarily that fun. It can be, but when you sit with someone who's like, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. It's like, I want to interact with someone who has an idea or ideas of things that we can bounce back and forth.
Yeah.
Manson is a very rare specimen, a very rare example of a person who is so highly creative. Most people are not at that level.
He's an artist as well. But he's an actual painter.
I have his paintings. He's an incredible.
I remember seeing them in your house.
Watercolor painter.
Do you still work
really
with him?
Really talented. I don't really work with anyone, but I see him, and I mean, I love him.
He was the kid on Mr. Belvedere, right?
No, I don't know where that came from.
And so let me ask you, when you dressed Caitlyn Jenner in that very famous white dress with that deep V-neck, now that, who designed that dress?
Versace.
And when was that designed, as it were? Like, what year would that be from?
We just made it. Like,
that's brand new.
A week before the ESPYs.
Okay.
Because I was thinking it was that look.
I thought that.
The ESPYs.
Yeah, it was ESPYs, and it was basically, you know, as I said, I watch literally no television. So I've never, even though I'm friendly with Kim Kardashian and she's a lovely, awesome person, I have never seen even 3 seconds of that show. So when I met Kate, you know, and this is why I really don't want to watch a lot of stuff, because I want to meet my clients without any kind of preconceived nonsense from the internet or television bullshit. So when I met Kate for the first, I had seen just her interview with Diane Sawyer. That's the only thing I had ever seen. And that show is produced by Buna Murray, which also produced Project Runway, Under the Gun, Styled. I do a lot of television fashion commentating through Buna Murray shows. So I texted my friend who's a producer, and I just felt so compelled. Like I said, I get the people who are meant to work with me. And I just was like, I absolutely have to meet Caitlyn. I just feel in my gut, in my destiny, every psychic part of my, like, I'm the Wicked Witch of Wardrobe. That's my company name. Like, I felt like I had to meet her.
Real quick, I have that written down, the Wicked Witch of Wardrobe. Why is that?
My company. No, I am a witch, like a real witch.
But
like,
I don't think you're, are you saying you're mean? Is
no,
that
she
what
means
you're
witch
no, no, no.
with a capital W.
No,
professionally.
I can be very, very mean for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you're one of the rare comics that actually is like a nice comic, like an Ellen.
Yeah.
But I would say most comics, I mean, underneath, we're really bitter, angry people. So I'm like, of course. I mean, I'm an angry Jewish girl, a self-hating Jew. So yeah, I'm wicked and I'm a witch. But really, I'm a witch, like for real. Like my grandmother was a witch. I'm not like a Wiccan. I don't fucking skin raccoons.
I don't think they do that.
Pray to them or whatever.
I don't think they do that.
I'm just saying I'm like a psychic witch in the sense that, like, I just have, my grandmother had it. It skips a generation. It comes to me. For example. My friend, I always know when someone's pregnant. I always know. I always know if they're going to have a boy or a girl. My one friend was having twins. Right when she peed on the stick, I immediately said, I feel it's a boy and a girl. Don't kill me. Don't shoot the messenger. And then it was a boy and a girl.
Wow.
Another friend of mine was pregnant about a month beforehand. I emailed her. I said, I really feel like the number 4 is going to be important in the birth of your child. And her baby was born at 4:44.
Wow.
Not 4:20 or 4:18, 4:44 on June 2nd. I will have a dream about something. You know, if I have a dream about something or a client or anything, like, they're extremely vivid, you know.
Yeah.
I
so you are in touch. No, but I have a couple of friends who are very in touch.
You know,
but
I don't know how to explain it.
But when you say the Wicked Witch of Wardrobe,
it was like the Wicked Witch of the West.
The Good Witch of Wardrobe, because it's not alliteration.
I guess, but now you're going to Caitlyn Jenner, and she's probably thinking, like, I don't know if I want this woman to style me. I mean, look at her, you know, like.
No,
she,
because people think it's really funny.
Oh, I see.
Because the fact is like. I mean, Dorothy and everything in The Wizard of Oz is one of the most influential costume set designs.
Okay, good one. All right.
So it's like,
sell me,
it's
man.
All those things.
Okay.
I am a witch
like
for real. I'm also witchy. And it's like the Wicked Witch of Wardrobe. I mean, it was a no-brainer.
Okay.
It just came to me. It was
so,
like, that's my company name.
So who made the introduction?
So the producer named Jeff at Buna Murray was like, well, let me text over. I actually do think that you and Kate would really hit it off. And, you know, he set up this meeting. And I just, you know, went there and talked with her. And I said, you know, I really feel like we could do something incredible for ESPYs. You know, it's a really big moment of her coming out, you know, in a gown, something, you know, very, you know, it was the first big, like, public appearance.
Oh, it's
really
huge. So tell me about how you came up with the color, the sleeves, because it is
Kate,
so
Kate had ideas.
Beautiful.
Kate had some reference images. And then I pulled some reference images. And there was one in particular of Lauren Bacall.
Yeah.
From back in, you know, probably the late 40s, early 50s in a white dress. And, you know, we just sort of talked about, you know, Kate was like, you know, I like sleeves. I feel like a woman of a certain age That was all Kate. I feel like a woman of a certain age should have a sleeve. I was like, that's great for me. We talked about colors, and it seemed, you know, black was too harsh. Red, it's like you don't want to come out that strong on an appearance like this. White seemed like, you know, with her skin tone, her hair color.
Pink is trying too hard.
Pink is just, pink is not my thing. I don't dress my clients like Easter eggs either. Not my thing at all. I do not do pastels. And, you know, so I approached Versace, and Donatella was like over the moon. I have a long relationship with Versace anyway, like a decade of doing stuff with them. Plus, so, their tailoring is impeccable.
But Gianna Versace, he's been dead for almost 20
time.
Years.
Yes.
And so when you say with Versace, who is running his company?
Well, Donatella runs the company.
I see. And that's his daughter.
That is his sister.
That is his sister. I see. Are these people on your telephone?
No, I don't really deal directly with Donatella. There is a person there named Lucio, and Lucio deals with all the VIP celebrity dressing.
Yeah.
So I have, yes, Lucio
his name is actually Todd, but he goes by Lucio.
It's funny. And it's Lucio, and their tailor's name is Luigi. And Luigi is from a family of tailors in Italy that is like the most premier tailoring family of Italy. And their tailoring is impeccable. I gave them some references. They sent me some fabrics. They did absolutely incredible sketches.
What was the fabric of Caitlin's dress that night?
It was a silk cadie, is what it's called. I believe it was a silk cadie with a little bit of stretch.
Have you ever gone over to Italy to look at fabrics, or do you ever need to do that? Or
I don't really need
send
to do that.
To
they use WorldNet, and they just send me, and they know that I don't like little teeny tiny swatches, so they send me larger, you know, good size swatches. And then... you know, it was just, they literally came probably a day or maybe a day or two before.
Have you ever done any other, really, before the event?
Yes.
And then what happened?
We do a fitting. It fit
almost
perfectly.
But then you had to, wait. You ordered the dress or the material?
They sent me the sketches. Kate and I got together. We looked over the sketches. We liked the top half of one sketch and the bottom half of another. So I put them together, sent a new picture back to Versace. And then, you know, we had the materials. Kate and I laid the materials on her skin to kind of see what was, you know, there's, when you say you want white, there's about, 3,000 different color whites.
Oh,
okay?
Gosh.
I mean, everywhere just in front of you.
Yeah.
So laying it across her to see what is the best, the warmest, the right thing for her skin tone. Went back to Versace. Here's how we want the dress. This is the fabric we like. Here's all the measurements. They go and they make it. They fly here from Milan with their tailor. They literally got off the plane, came directly to Kate's. We had a fitting. I want to say the event was the next day.
How much?
But that's how much confidence I have in Versace.
Can you give me the budget of that dress? Or just
there is no budget. I don't know because they don't.
But who's paying?
Versace.
Because she's going to say, I wore it. Yeah.
I mean, that's how it is.
Are they paying you a fee as well?
No, no. They don't pay me.
Who's paying you?
I just get paid by Caitlin or her. Or maybe.
Is that dress now available to be sold?
No. No.
It doesn't even exist.
Almost everything that I do with Versace is a one of a kind.
Wow.
Going all the way back to like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the leather dress. Like, you know, these are each thing made for the red carpet, will never go into production. That's it. It's couture.
Jennifer, have you ever been to a place where they have on display costumes, like even like a Hard Rock Cafe or something, and walked through the casino and said, like, yeah, that's mine?
I think I actually was somewhere, and it might have been a Hard Rock, where I saw...
like Pink or one of her costumes.
I don't know if it was Pink, or it might have been like Ice Cube or something like that.
Or
like
Snoop, yeah.
Ice Cube and Dre from like Natural Born Killers or... it's a blur. You know what I mean? I have just done so much costuming.
You make Pink look so refined and so beautiful.
Thank you. Well, she uses someone else now. She likes to switch it up each album cycle.
I see.
So, but I did like Stupid Girls, Raise Your Glass, you know,
and
a lot of
have you ever
awesome
styled
stuff
somebody
her.
Like Courtney Love?
I did style Courtney Love. And for a very brief minute, I styled Courtney Love.
Because I would think you would do wonders for her.
She looked... I have to say, it was one of the best she ever looked. It was a little crazy, honestly. That's its own story for Storyworthy. But, like, she was living at Chateau Marmont at that time.
Yeah.
And she's great. I mean, she's cool. She's funny.
I bet.
But it was kind of like that thing where you put someone in a limo and they look great. And then you are waiting, watching the television or wire image, you know, online to see photos. And they get out of the car, and you're like, were you mauled by a snow leopard in the limo drive? What happened?
What happened? What does happen?
I don't know. I mean, just little, I don't know. But I mean, it was a brief period, and I just remember going to Chateau and thinking, she is going to burn the hotel down, because I am not joking. I feel bad. Should I not say this? I'm just going to be honest. Like, in her bed, there was, like, pieces of lettuce and cigarette butts.
Yeah.
Like, it was really out of control.
Random.
And she was really pulled together, but, you know, she's an artist. And
did you see the movie Straight Outta Compton?
Yeah, obviously, yes.
No, I don't know.
No. I lived Straight Outta Compton.
I know you did.
That's why I'm asking you.
Well, no, that's why I'm asking.
It was incredible.
I heard a criticism of the costume design in that there were items that were incorrect, like the White Sox hat was from... It wasn't an early enough design. Did you hear
there
any
were,
of this?
I didn't hear that, but I mean, I can tell you that in that period of time,
yeah.
I bought a lot of Raiders gear,
yeah.
A lot of blue bandanas. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of, you know, it was a very different time in the rap world. Whereas Suge was like Team Red, other people were Team Blue. I bought every Air Force One ever made for Dr. Dre, who, by the way, is the most incredible guy on the planet. Always such a sweetie. Every time he would see me, he'd be like, Jennifer, oh, Jenny, in his, like, deep, amazing
oh,
voice.
That's
like,
awesome.
And he was, like, a teddy bear of love, and not one per... He deserves... He was always different than everyone else. It doesn't surprise me at all the incredible success he's had.
Yeah.
And just looking back and thinking... When I saw that movie, all I could think was, like, wow. Like, in some ways, society has progressed so much, but in other ways, it's like, now, instead of just, like, pushing a black person on the ground, they're like straight up just shooting black people. Yeah. Like, it is so fucked up how, as a society, in the world of race, we've actually gone in reverse.
No, you know what I think that is? And I have a theory for everything. Because obviously the Donald Trump thing is like, you know, people are shouting Trump when they're attacking. It's like, I think it's the last gasp, and a very painful last gasp of real racism, that they're like, there are these people who've been wanting to shout the N-word and beat up black people for like years, and just felt like they can't.
I hope you're right, Hannes.
It's pushing, it's bubbling under the surface, and now there's a little vent right now with the whole Trump thing where it's like, we can do anything. And it's like, I mean, I believe a whole generation has to die out. Although it's young people.
No, but
like,
I think you're right, Hannes, because like my kid's fortunate because she goes to school in Los Angeles, and you know, she's, frankly, blonde hair, blue eyes, she is the minority. But there's like no, I mean, maybe this is crazy to say, but in my kid's school, I don't see any racism at all.
No, I feel like in younger generations, it's people are normal.
That in the elementary school, when these kids are older, it's going to be better.
Yeah.
It is.
No, it's definitely
getting better.
It has to be. I mean, I can't even fathom, but that for me was such, like, Snoop Dogg's wife is one of my dearest friends. Like
I said, so what did you do for their wedding?
I just was a guest.
Oh, I thought maybe you styled something there.
No. It just like...
Okay, you were there.
I was there probably... I literally may have been the only white person there. Like, it was so long ago.
Yeah.
But his wife to this day, she is one of my dearest friends in the world. I absolutely adore her. I would do anything for her. She is like the most special...
Could she get us some weed?
She probably could. She is seriously, though, the most loving, kind, special...
Nice.
Like, I can't even put words to just... I love her so much. And like, we were talking about, you know, Straight Outta Compton, because it was something that we both, you know, all through the 90s, like, you know, living through that with, you know, Suge. And I mean, I was there the night before Tupac got shot.
Yeah.
You know, I shot a video with him. It was like him and Suge. Hey, bye. Have fun at the fight, you guys. And then 4 a.m. phone call. Tupac was shot.
Crazy.
And weirdly, I also worked on the Michael Jackson show, This Is It. And I was there weeks and weeks of rehearsal. But the very night before at like 1 a.m. And then the next day, he was dead.
Oh, my God.
And then I also did the very last photo shoot with Amy Winehouse.
You are the
and
Wicked Witch of Wardrobe.
Dead.
Yeah, I'm not feeling good about my day tomorrow.
About your, right?
What's going on?
Yeah, that's
you
a
and
lot
the
of
witch.
People that died,
Let
actually.
Me hear about Amy Winehouse. You did dress her.
You know, I did this last photo shoot with her, with Bryan Adams, the singer.
Wow.
Who's an incredible photographer, which was also like, again, coming as a child from Philly. You know, it was like, wow, heaven.
Amazing.
Heaven. I'm finding it hard to believe I'm in heaven. And now I'm a stylist and you're a photographer and I'm on a job with you. Where, how's this my life? I was a little bit scared before I did the shoot with Amy, because you do see things in the press, which is exactly why I try to read nothing. But I had heard, you know, does she have an attitude? Is she going to be this or that? So I was a little bit worried because I'm like, hey, honey, there's only one diva on my jobs and it's me. Mm-hmm. There's not room for two of us. But when I got there, she could not have been sweeter. She was so polite. Thank you for this. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate this. I love this. She could not have been more sweet and
that's
adorable
wonderful.
And friendly.
Good to hear.
And like, yeah,
good
that's
to hear.
Exactly why it's best to not pay attention to
now,
the press.
I want to go, as always, completely negative. You don't have to name names. What is your biggest celebrity disappointment? Somebody that you wanted to meet and you hoped they were nice and they turned out to be terrible. I don't know how to do it without names.
I don't even mind saying certain names, but I have to say, I really have never met someone and been disappointed.
Yeah.
I've been really, really lucky that like everyone I work with has kind of been really awesome, cool, and funny. Because the truth is, why would you be a dick to your stylist?
Yeah.
First of all, I see you naked. Second of all, we both have the same goal, which is make you look good. I don't work again if you look like shit.
Right. Yeah.
So you being an asshole to me is completely counterproductive.
Yeah. Look, there's so many questions. God, I could talk to you forever. Two things real quick.
But I did do a job with Kanye West years and years and years and years ago before he was really well known. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I love Kim, but he was not that nice of a person to me, you know? He was dismissive and had an attitude. And at that point in my mind, I was like, honey, I've already worked with fucking Tupac and Marilyn and people I consider legends.
Yeah.
Like, I am not even, you know, the things that he said and the way that, you know, he was, nothing has changed. He's only actually spiraled worse in my mind into his own egocentric vortex.
Let me ask you, one of the things
I'm not upset.
One of the most amazing dresses I've ever seen is on Wendy McClendon Covey, that royal blue dress. It has like an asymmetrical neckline, and she wore it just recently, I think.
Oh, she probably bought it herself.
Oh,
Wendy does a lot of. Wendy's a great. Yeah, she could be a stylist for sure.
She has.
She really gets her body. That's a perfect example of someone like she totally gets her body. She'll go online. She'll shop and shop and shop. She doesn't really need, you know, she's really good at dressing herself.
Really? So
not everybody
does. She have somebody come in and then help her nip and tuck or like tailor?
I don't even know that she needs it. Wendy fits stuff really perfectly. She's a very proportional body in a great shape.
I see.
So she puts stuff on and she's
one of
the...
But you have dressed her for things.
Oh, yeah, many, many, many things. A whole television thing I did with her that Ellen produced that she hosted. Lots of red carpet, the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Yes, lots of things.
That's amazing. Let me ask you about Angelina Jolie. She seems like such a small person. How does she wear the gowns that are 30 pounds? Like how some of those beaded gowns, like those, like that Ellie Saab gown, some of those beautiful
not
gowns.
As heavy as you would think.
Really?
I would say for all clients, beaded gowns can be really heavy. Like when I have to lift them off the rack, it's like, oh my God, this gown weighs 40 pounds. But when you put it on your body, your shoulders really break the weight of that. And no one's really quite as small as you would necessarily. Everyone's just sort of like normal sized. Maybe you might see magazines photoshopping things that make people look different than what they actually look like. So,
is that tattoo on Angelina's arm? It looks like a lot of writing.
I don't know which one.
There's a tattoo on her arm.
Tell me
it looks
more
like
about
times
Angelina
and
naked.
Dates. No, it's like time and. Do you have to consider tattoos? Or I guess if they want you to.
No. I mean, Angie's a person who's very. Fashion-y. That's the wrong word. Angie, she knows what she likes. She has very strong opinions and she knows what works well in her body. But yeah, sometimes if there's a dress that has a low back, you might want to think like, oh, there's a tiger tattoo there.
Yeah.
You don't want to cut it right in the middle because that could be weird. So either like show it or cover it.
Yeah, like the tiger tattoo itself is okay.
I
get it. All right. Now, let me ask you, when it comes to jewelry and shoes, do you call in more people?
Oh, yeah, that's a whole different thing. But it depends. I mean, you might go to a PR firm like Weatherly where they rep L'Agence and Kenneth Cole and Renee Calvia shoes, but then they also have Ippolita jewelry, H. Stern jewelry. So you go in there, Anita Co., and you're pulling jewelry, shoes, tops.
Is this at the same place you were talking about before, the showroom?
It's a showroom, and it's called Weatherly. It's just right down the street.
I see.
All right down the street. So some showrooms rep only jewelry, but they might have 10 different brands, like Margot Siegel. You know, she has like 10 or 12 different brands of jewelry. You only go there for like little jewelry for press things and events.
And then you let the actress or the person
wear it.
Then I
lay out my trays.
You lay out your trays. You choose them.
Yes.
And then you get them back and you take them back to the showroom.
Yes.
So these clothes that a lot of the celebrities are wearing for different events, different things, then those clothes are going back.
They're all borrowed.
Isn't yes. that interesting, Hannes?
95%.
I think a lot of people don't know that. No, I'm just saying, people don't know that. Yeah. They think, that's what I'm saying is like, they think you go to Marilyn Manson's closet and all those clothes are in his closet.
Well, that's different maybe that's, though. He would buy, and he does have direct relationships with like, you know, Hedy or people at Saint Laurent
okay,
or different
but like,
designers.
Right, but like Lisa Rinna. Lisa Rinna, who's doing
yes.
red carpet all the time.
And I love Lisa, one of my best friends in the world.
She doesn't own all those dresses.
No, I mean, it depends, you know, for red carpet, like when we did Oscars last year, that was this beautiful pink gown. It was like a hot pink, totally borrowed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jewelry borrowed.
Okay. We have got to wrap it up because there's so much okay. to talk to you about. But here's what I really want to know, Jennifer, because I've known you for about 18 years.
Oh, my God. What? I'm only 20.
We did comedy together years ago.
We were six.
But here's what so you have all this going on.
Yes.
Such a successful career. We didn't even get into your clothing line on QVC.
I'm done with that anyway. I'm on to something else.
But still, you still
doing
but
an
you
accessories.
Had it. But you
yes.
had it, and now you're doing accessories, and so uh-huh. you do all these different things. After all is said and done, and all this talent that you have, you still want to go out on commercial auditions
as an actress?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I'm an
why? Because
that's who I am in my heart. I'm a comic and an entertainer and a singer. I'll be in the studio next week recording a song.
That's the other
I'm
thing.
I'm a songwriter.
A whole other facet of your career is your singing. Your singing is fucking amazing.
Thank you.
You know I've listened to your songs over and over
no,
and over
I
again.
I have better ones, newer
you
ones.
You have amazing, an amazing voice. But okay, so let's say the voice thing, I understand the singing part. But what I can't understand is why you would ever want to go out on a commercial.
Because
audition.
I love improv and I love comedy. And I really would like, wish I had time to go back and just go out and do open mics and comedy and stuff. But it's, as you know, it's like a pain in the ass. And
yeah.
Where is it really going to ultimately lead to?
I guess I feel like you've already landed. So why do you want to do that?
Because I'm a creative person. So I just like to do creative things.
But you're doing so much.
I know, but there's other things that, like, fulfill my soul, and making people laugh is one of them, and writing songs is something that I'm, like, I would say I'm least gifted at styling.
Wow.
I might be more successful, but it's because, like I said, it's because I have other interests, and my whole life isn't like, oh, my God, it's like that floral Prada is incredible. I know that it looks like wallpaper, but you're going to wear it. Like, that's
yeah.
not me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
yeah,
not
I did notice
that.
Like you said earlier, you're dressed like a person.
Yeah, I'm not
like
the fashion
a person with taste, but not a yeah.
yeah like
I see costume people, and they're just like
yeah, and they come in
out of
and
their minds.
In four-inch heels, and they have like a fur.
There
vest
does seem
on
to be a lot of
a
costume
smell.
People, and sometimes makeup artists who they want to be
yeah.
the person in the chair getting made up, or they want to be the person who's being styled, and they have a
right.
little bit of resentment. I find that when I go on commercial shoots,
and I don't ever want to be that stylist yeah. that's like, look at me, I'm like so, but I do in the way if it's me as an actor or me as a comic or
yeah.
me as a songwriter, that's different. Because I'm working off, it's just like any creative person. I feel like there's a lot of people in this town, like an Anna Kendrick, who she's a great actress, but she's also a spectacular singer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just some people, you know, we have creative things. We let them out in different ways. I'm lucky that I'm able to let them out in different ways.
You are. I'm so happy you came to talk to us today. Hey, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Yes.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
And the wheel landed on fish.
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 A lot of ways I could go there, but ironically, or destiny, I actually do have a really good, I think it's a fish story. It doesn't even have anything to do with fish. Oh my God. That's how my time?
Yeah.
Are you timing me? How much time do I have?
1 minute.
1 minute. Oh my God. Okay. So on my very first job with Cher, first job ever. Okay. I went to the set and we had broken for lunch. I was having a perfectly happy day. I was fine. Everyone broke for lunch, and then at the end, they had these little teeny, 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 tiny little chocolate chip cookies and these big, giant lemon tarts. But everyone in Hollywood's like, oh my God, I'm just going to like, I'm going to eat this little mini cookie. It's so good. But not me. No, not Jen Reid. I'm like, I'm going to eat this really big, giant lemon tart. So I eat this giant lemon tart, and literally 45 minutes later, I saw fucking Jesus, and I was like, this is where I'm going to die. But they're not going to cart me out of here, not on this Cher job. I go into the bathroom. We were in Malibu. I was like literally sweating. I had to pull my shirt off. I had my tank top on. I was like, I could feel myself getting a fever. I have a deathly fear of throwing up, by the way. I would rather cut off my own finger than puke. Okay. So I'm like panting, sweating. I come out of the bathroom. Just like, I hadn't even thrown up yet, but it was coming. I come out of the bathroom. I'm like, oh my God, I think I'm going to die. I like lean against the wall. And at the end of the hallway, there's nobody but me and Cher. And at the very end of the hallway, all she looks up at me and she looks at me and she goes, that's why I don't eat the fish. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm in like Moonstruck where she like slaps the guy. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now? This is what you're saying to me?
Snap
I didn't eat
it.
The fish. God damn it. I ate the fucking lemon tart. And then she wanted to call an ambulance. I was so sick. And I was like, oh, hell no. I am not getting carted off this job in a fucking ambulance. My first shoot ever with her. So I told my assistant, I was like, just go to the next stage. We're shooting here. And I'm going to just hop in my car. No one's going to see. I'm going to drive home. Just tell everybody I left. They know that I'm sick. I get in my car. I've probably already passed your time. I'm sorry. Okay.
This is like
I get
a
in
sequel.
My car. Okay. I'm driving through Malibu Canyon. You all know it well. I had grabbed a bunch of napkins because I was freaking out. And just as I'm coming through the curve from Malibu Canyon onto the 101, projectile vomiting all over my car, 65 miles an hour, down the 101, okay? All over. I had to pull over on the 101. At this point, I'm in a tank top. I'm almost naked because I'm sweating. I'm falling apart. I pull over on the 101. And like I said, this is my biggest fear in life. Like, I would rather do anything. I have, like, emetophobia, for real. I pull over on the side of the road. I am vomiting, like, just vomiting my guts up on the side of the 101. And then I'm like, 18-wheelers are going by, everything's shaking, I'm sweating, and then I'm like, I'm going to get arrested. I look like a drunk driver. I don't even drink, okay? Not because I'm an alcoholic, I'm just Jewish and drinking's like not our thing. So I'm like, I'm going to get arrested, they're going to see me vomiting on the side of the road, this is a nightmare, I probably have $1 million worth of jewelry in my car, I'm vomiting on the side of the road, this is a nightmare, I got to get back in my car. I get back in my car, vomiting more all the way down the 101, and I had a BlackBerry at the time, so because they had to pry that BlackBerry out of my cold, dead hand. Vomiting all over my phone. I finally make it back to my house, okay? My husband just opened the car door. He leapt back like 5 feet. Ugh. He was like, holy crap, we need to call a hazmat. Like, ugh. It was so out of control.
Gross.
And I had a really early meeting the next morning, and I went to go use my BlackBerry, which I vomited all over. And the only two things that my BlackBerry would type was the letter B and the money sign. Be money, be money, be money, be money. I swear to you. Nothing else on my whole phone would work. And then I just got in a bathtub and soaked in a pool of my own vomit. And
see,
be
you know
money,
what?
Be money.
The lemon tart had been there for like 6 days because no one would eat the fattening lemon tart.
Because everyone in Hollywood's like, no,
so
I
that's
don't
why
eat,
it was. That's why it was bad.
But not me. No, no. I go right for the fucking
Have you worked with
Cher
again, though?
I did work with her after that.
And
yes.
Is she a difficult person
now.
To work
no.
with?
No,
I don't
she's
eat
easy.
The fish.
She is amazing.
No, I don't mean difficult. I meant in terms of like, I would think that she would have her own.
She definitely
going.
Has her own style. I mean, I've gone in her closet. I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's moments like that where I'm like, am I looking at Cher's assless chaps in her closet right now? Is this
awesome.
Really my life?
Wow, that's
but
terrific.
But she's so funny and she's so cool and she's such a hard worker. She's the least diva person you would ever.
I've
you
always
do not
heard
get that far in life by not being a badass hard worker.
I've heard a really, I've heard a lot of good things about her.
Yes.
And I've heard about her since she was a young, young girl and the way she would entertain all the way through school.
Yeah.
Her family, her friends, her schoolmates, her
she's
everybody.
A badass.
I heard that. Okay, real quick, and we got to wrap this up. But
so sorry.
Give the women of America some tips in general about clothes. Just give us some blanket tips. And here's one I think is good for all in all. Like if you feel when you sit down and something is pinching and grabbing, you're not wearing the right thing. Is that true?
I would say comfort. Well, for me, comfort is important, definitely.
Yeah.
But I have a theory on styling, and it's something that I've even said to Cher, and I've said to every client I've ever worked with ever.
Okay.
And my theory on styling is everything can't be something. I try to impress this upon people all the time. You need a lot of nothing so that your one something can stand out.
I've heard that a woman's wardrobe should be like 70%.
Nothing.
Very, very, very basic.
Yes.
Basic. 70%
basic. Like, if you want to wear a pair of hot, red high heels, mm-hmm. wear a t-shirt and jeans.
Okay.
If you want to wear a leopard dress, don't wear like some other printed bag and then also do, the human eye can only process so much at one time.
I've heard that theory with even makeup. No, but I've heard that with makeup. Either do your eye makeup strong or your lips strong.
Depending on your face, that is can be facially dependent. And then what people often forget when I say everything can't be something, you need a lot of nothings to make your something stand out. You really are the something. Like, I would say that to Cher. Like, Cher, you could wear, like, a Ladies Who Lunch skirt suit, and it's never going to take away from the fact that you're Cher. The essence of who you are comes through. Yeah. You don't necessarily need to dress it, you know? So I would always just say to women, like, and to anyone, even young people who want to be a stylist, like, to be a great stylist, you have to love people. That's the key. You have to love people. You have to look at every single person on the planet and find something beautiful. Whether it's beautiful shoulders, beautiful face shape, gorgeous hair, gorgeous arms, everyone has something beautiful. And your job as a stylist is to make people feel confident, bring out what makes them feel best, and, you know, find whatever it is that's beautiful. You have a beautiful neckline. You have beautiful legs. Everybody has something beautiful.
That is so goddamn sweet.
Well, that's what makes a good stylist. It's
fucking awesome.
Honestly.
Jen Raid, honestly, this is like one of my favorite story-worthy episodes.
I'll never be a stylist.
Ever. No, honest, that takes you way out of the game.
I'm way out of it.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
And thank you to Lionel C. Martin, who gave you your start.
I know. I would have been nothing without him. Everything to him, just taking a chance.
How old is that man right now?
I'm not sure.
But
he
still
was
works.
Well older than me because I had a mad crush on him when I was like 20.
Yeah.
You know, a mad crush, but he was older, you know.
And he still works, though.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Interesting.
I haven't seen him in a long time.
And listen, like I said, you have a great website, jenniferraid.com. Great website. And also, you guys can follow her on Twitter at @StylistJenRaid.
And that's my Instagram. I'm more on Instagram.
And StylistJenRaid. Yeah. I heard that Instagram is huge for fashion.
Yeah, it's just so much easier. It's just pictures, and you can share them with Twitter, and then it posts, and then it posts to Facebook. And
but I will say that when you post from Instagram to Twitter, it doesn't translate. Because people that are tweeting, and I know this because I do social media on the side, people that are tweeting are not clicking on that Instagram. I told you that before, too, honest.
Right. They don't.
If you have to take an extra step, you're not going to do it.
No, it's
not going to do it.
Sometimes.
Two different platforms. It's always true.
It's better to separate, but I'm
two
lazy.
Platforms.
Like,
yeah.
I just don't care. I'm
well,
busy.
Also,
we'll
I'm just waiting
that.
For Twitter to die.
That's Twitter is slowly dying.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know, guys. Yeah. Hey, listen, thank you very much for coming.
Oh, my God.
On.
Thank you guys so much for having
me.
Thank
fantastic.
You.
Really great. Really great. And now when I see all these movie stars and I see people, I think, like, I wonder if Jennifer did that. And usually you did. It's pretty cool.
Probably could have happened. Yes.
Can you get Cher on the show?
Oh, my God.
If we can
be
get
cool.
Cher in here.
She's so fun and funny.
Story worthy.
Oh, my God.
That
if you could
awesome.
Get Manson in here, you'd die. You
would
need
be
a whole day of story worthy because he's got stories like.
I bet. I
take
bet.
These drapes
some
and turn them into
stuff. Something. Marilyn Manson, so many of his images are quite haunting, though. Like, to me, when I see him, sometimes it's hard to get past the, he kind of looks scary. So
but
some
he's
of the makeup.
Not scary.
No, I understand.
But he's a performance artist. He's challenging
it,
you to look at
hard
yourself.
For me to look. Oh, that's interesting.
He's
yeah, because it is hard
you
for me to
like,
look past
look
it.
Within and be like, you know, and like, be creative and be yourself.
I need to take another
step.
He does
not want people to emulate him. He wants people to find themselves.
I love that.
I once had to make him a skirt out of animal pelts.
Yeah.
Like we built this
giant frame.
Is that
the 17-foot skirt?
No,
that
was
one. That was the water one.
No, that was a water one. This was just, we made a chicken wire frame. I had to buy like 50 animal pelts at a taxidermist. We had to put them all on the outside of the skirt. It took about a week. He had to come over to my house for a fitting. And just before, my dog went outside and started chewing the pelts off the bottom of the skirt.
That makes sense,
nightmare.
Though.
Yes.
That I could see
well,
that happen.
To her, it was like a giant dog treat. She's like, do you build this for me?
Yeah.
That is so thoughtful. Thank you.
All right, you guys. I want to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Sean Merrick and Roddy Swearingen, and, of course, Ben Stewart. Thanks for helping us on sound tonight, Ben. I'd also like to thank John Thomas Griffith. You know, he wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
He has no style at all.
And also, I'd also like to thank you once again, Jen Raid. Thanks for coming on today. We really appreciate it. And on behalf of you, Hannah Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story. You can follow me.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.